following is a presentation of the OHL Fanboys Podcast.
Fusée hurlement, Leoski sont champions de la Coupe du Président.
For the fourth time in their history, the Guelph Storm are Ontario Hockey League champions.
For the second time in franchise history, the Prince Albert Raiders are Western Hockey League champions.
Live from the Donair Capital, it's the OHL Fanboys Meet the Halifax Herdcast at the 101st Memorial Cup in Halifax. Here are your hosts, Steve McLean, Jordan Peckham, and John Strobridge.
Welcome to the OHL Fanboys Podcast, alongside with the Herdcast of the 101st Memorial Cup, presented by Kia in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We're on day two of the Memorial Cup, looking forward to the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies and the Guelph Storm this afternoon at the Scotiabank Centre. Sitting here right now, of course, with the boys from the Herdcast, a little bit of a late night for us, but we're back at it. And we're sitting here with the play-by-play voice of the Halifax Mooseheads, Mr. Gareth McDonald. Gareth, how's it going?
Yeah, it's great. It's great, Steve. It's great to meet you. It's great to finally meet the Herdcast boys. Johnny on the boards, huh? Right? Jordan, this is great. I got that right, right?
This is a common thing that happened to people, you know, when they meet me first. I mean, you know, people can get starstruck, you know, meeting Johnny. It's a real phenomenon.
I know I was starstruck at the airport when you picked me up.
I think to see the beard in person, it's miraculous.
It's thin really fast, like very fast.
Big night for you guys last night, obviously. The Moose picking up a big 4-1 win over the Prince Albert Raiders. I'd imagine that, you know, after the kind of the lull that was the final, that must have been nice to get back on track with a big crowd, big win, great atmosphere. Must have been great to call.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a blast. I mean, I think it was, and these guys would know, it's certainly a stark contrast to what we saw last Saturday in Game 6 against Rouyn-Noranda. You know, that series, that was, you know, it was a tough one for the Mooseheads. I think the bounces had gone, you know, perhaps a different way, especially in Game 5. Mooseheads probably could have had a better fate. I think they deserved a better fate, but I mean, you could tell last Saturday that the tank by that point, I think it was pretty empty for the Mooseheads. I think having that time off, probably a bit of a blessing in disguise here for Halifax. It was, you know, I think it was much needed. They got a big break, and yeah, I mean, last night they came out. It looked like a much different team than the one we saw last weekend. They were well rested. They were ready to go. And I mean, how electric was the crowd last night? The Scotiabank Center was unreal. I mean, it was bumping in there, and I think the team really fed off of that.
Big hits is something that gets the crowd going, and we saw a huge one. It's all anyone can talk about today. It's getting all the traction on Sportsnet and everything. How's his face today? He went in the boards pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to see Keith Getson since that hit, but yeah, my goodness, that was an unreal collision. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that. We saw it earlier on in the season, I think back in early February in Moncton. One of the crazier collisions I'd seen was Samuel Dubé and Alexi Antilainen down in the corner. And Dubé kind of did the same thing. I mean, he's obviously a much smaller guy than Keith Getson. Yeah, he kind of did the same thing. It was one of the first times I ever saw it, just, you know, kind of going horizontal and into the boards. But, I mean, last night Getson had, a lot more elevation there. There was a lot more velocity, a lot more physics at play in that one, some bigger bodies. And just, yeah, an unbelievable collision there. And, yeah, I think we're lucky to see Getson pop right back up. He's a warrior, but I mean, seeing the replays, that was pretty scary. I mean, those skates were up there, especially on the way down for Getson. I mean, he ends up on top of Max Martin, but Martin's skates were, yeah, a little high. That was a pretty scary hit, but it, you know, it was a good one. Everybody's okay, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things when it happens, no one really notices it, and then you see that slow motion replay afterwards, and everyone kind of cringes a bit. Like, that could have been really nasty.
Oh, it could have been, yeah. But I mean, no, to see the way that Getson popped right back up, that guy, he's a warrior. That's Keith Getson in a nutshell, right there.
All right, I'm going to let these guys get in some questions here in a minute, but before I do, because, you know, of course, they're the Mooseheads experts. Hold on. Well, sir. But one thing I got to ask you before I turn it over to these boys for a bit is I saw, of course, you know, the Memorial Cup, there's a whole bunch more media here. Sportsnet comes in, takes over. It looks like you got the boot a little bit, and I'm curious how you're calling a game with, when the entire blue line is blocked by a girder.
Yeah, there was, you know, there's some, and I guess we shouldn't blame the Sportsnet guys for it. My old spot, it was actually taken over by the Moosets alumni, that 2013 team. So I think we'll give them the pass on that one. They can have it. Yeah, I mean, the steel beam is one thing. It's got to be probably minus 15 up there. There's a vent right above me. It's a meat locker, so that's probably the worst part. But no, I mean, you get used to it. You get used to it pretty quick. And I've got my own private area. The other play-by-play guys, they've got to move around each game, so I guess I can't complain too much.
I guess if you get a game late in the tournament, especially if the Mooseheads go deep and you get some overtime and you're sweating bullets, you're gonna like that spot.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I couldn't feel my feet when I walked out of there last night. So
there you go.
So, Gareth, you've been calling games for the Moose now for a couple of years. Coming in, you were taken over from Johnny Moore, who has had some pretty legendary calls in his time with the Mooseheads, and certainly some of the more memorable Moose moments in our 25-year history here. So, what was that like for you coming in and having to fill those shoes?
Yeah, I mean, those are big shoes to fill. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's the way that I approached it, you know, kind of just filling the shoes per se. But, I mean, yeah, they are big shoes to try to fill. You know, Johnny's a legend. You know, you go into any rink around the queue, that's one of the first things, especially in my first year, that was what you get asked. Where's Johnny? Everybody knows him everywhere he goes. So, I mean, he was well-liked for me. You know, John Moore was a bit of a mentor of sorts. He was just a great guy. I remember when I started back at CTV, and I had confided into one of my colleagues there, another legendary local broadcaster, Rick Grant. I told him, you know, I said, one day I'd like to do play-by-play. I was doing some play-by-play on the side at the university and junior A levels at that time, basically trying to take get any opportunities that I could. But, you know, I told Rick that I wanted to do play-by-play. He said, well, Johnny's a friend of mine. You got to talk to him. So, no, I mean, over the years, Johnny was always, terrific. He'd make time for me, grab a coffee, talk about play-by-play. And, I mean, when Johnny finally made the decision to step away, he kind of reached out to me as well to let me know about that. And I really appreciated that. I thought that was very, very kind of him. And it's been a whole lot of fun, obviously, the last couple of years trying to fill those shoes.
So I want to pump your tires a little bit here now, because you know, when I think about John Moore, I think, you know, the Jonathan Drouin game 7 in Quebec. Jonathan Drouin, that call. That's probably my favorite John Moore call, but I have to tell you the truth. That Xavier Perrin goal in overtime to get us to the President's Cup final.
Me and Drouin.
I was like, yeah, that was killer, bud. I got to say, you should be proud of that one.
That was one of the best calls I've ever. I thought I was excited. I almost fell down the stairs when they scored that goal. I was so lightheaded, but that was unreal, man.
No, thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, it's that's just an incredible moment, right? I mean, that place, we talked off the top about, you know, just how exciting and how electric it was last night. That goal and the response, I'm getting goosebumps now, seriously, just thinking about it. But it was, that was just such a special moment in the history of the team. And, yeah, I mean, to get to be a part of that, to get to call that goal, that was unreal. Because I think, there's so much emotion that you could see it on the faces of the players. They went into that series, that President Cup semifinal against Drummondville, and nobody was giving them a shot whatsoever. Drummondville was one of the best teams in the country this year. They went out and they made some big moves. I mean, they bring in P.O. Joseph. They add him to a back end that's already got Nicolas Baudin, a first-round pick of the Chicago Blackhawks. They got Max Comtois, Joe Valeno, all these guys up front. The proof is, it was right there on the Q website. I mean, we saw the experts from, and I know that you guys are kind of rolling your eyes, of course. It was a little Quebec-centric, hey, those experts, but the Q's a religion in Quebec. I mean, you go there, it's so cool. It's different than You know, here they've got, you know, RDS and TVA Sports. It's, you know, we're at breakfast in the morning after a game in Quebec, and, you know, you're seeing the highlights there, which is, you know, the highlights of the night before. You're seeing, you know, a Moosehead's goal, and that's pretty cool. So, I mean, I know that they love it. They're passionate about it there, but there weren't a lot of people that were giving the Mooseheads much of a shot against Drummondville. And I mean, to see the way that Alex Gravel played in that series, to see that goal from Xavier Perron, to punch the ticket, it was real special to be a part of.
And you know, if you ask my wife, I'm kind of hard-headed, right? You know, I'm a little stubborn,
a little bit.
So you know, we spend an hour and a half, you know, preparing each week to talk about the Mooseheads, and even we didn't give them much a chance. So, you know, I've never been so happy to be wrong in that sort of scenario. But I mean, that is our greatest highlight, I think, since the 2013 Memorial Cup, right?
So, absolutely, we both had Drummondville in six on our podcast. We did predictions, and we both took Drummondville in six, and I think that was pretty much a consensus, like you said, Garrett, that everybody had Halifax Road off in that series. So to upset like that was, I don't think a lot of people seen it as an upset after a couple of games. All of a sudden it was, maybe we, you know, we had a healthy team at this point, which made a huge difference. And then going into Rouen, nobody knew what to expect. We were all pumped. We were excited. I mean, you know, we were shooting some messages to you. You were excited. You can't tell me you weren't.
I was fired up for that. I mean, that was obvious. And I think that, you know, the really interesting part as well, it was a similar situation. They're taking on a team that has a historic year, 59 wins. I mean, just an incredible year for the Huskies. We talked about Drummondville adding P.O. Joseph. Well, the Huskies, at the, you know, during the trade period, they were already the top team in the league. They had the best record. They were sitting atop the queue, and then they go out and they land two of the biggest fish out there. And Noah Dobson, I mean, he was unreal for them, and Joel Teasdale as well. I mean, Teasdale back-to-back-to-back trips to the President Cup final. I mean, he's a stud. He's a big man out there. He is a man. I mean, he's tough to contain, tough to deal with. So you add those two players to a lineup that was already, you know, pretty rock solid, and that's a tight-knit group, the Huskies. I think it was, what was the stat? It's 20 of the 23 players kind of drafted and developed. Cote kind of has an asterisk there because he got traded to Quebec during his rookie year, and then they went back and brought him back this year. So, but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, they were a great team, and like I said, I don't think people were giving the Mooseheads much of a shot, but those series kind of started off in a similar way. We saw, you know, in that small rink, both of those rinks, the Marcel Dion Center in Drummondville and the IM Gold Arena in Rouen, they're both 190 feet. They're both, you know, they have about probably the same capacity. Both are extremely loud, as you guys can probably tell from the webcasts and the TV broadcasts. I mean, the air horns are out. Very similar environments, and two teams that have a really quick transition game, and they're able to, you know, to do that on the little ice. It was a tough, you know, I think that was tough for the Mooseheads to adjust to that. And in the first game, didn't help when you get 9 power plays to 1 in game 1 against Rouen. But I mean, other than that, it was, yeah, I mean, the series, they kind of followed a similar script, double overtime winners in game 2, and yeah, I mean, it was pretty unreal. And like I said, it's, you know, I think that the Mooseheads proved a lot of people wrong in the series against Drummondville. They surprised a lot of people. Bouncer 2 going the other way in game 5, I mean, that's just an awful little, I think it was 8 minutes and 38 seconds that, you know, ended up, I think, costing the team their shot at the President Cup. It just a spectacular stretch of bad luck. But I mean, I think if nothing else, through those two series, the Mooseheads proved that they can hang with the best teams in the country.
I think they deserve to be here. You know what? If Ottawa was here, nobody would question it. If Vancouver was here, nobody would question it. To lose in six to the best team in the country, that I'm more excited for this tournament than I would have been if Quebec had beat us in 7. I'll tell you right now. I mean,
well, absolutely. I mean, what a yeah. I mean, what a contrast it is. I mean, look back to a month and a half ago, the end of March, and I mean, Cam Russell said it. They were kind of, you know, they were thinking, you know, the hell are we going to fill the next 7 weeks? What are we going to be doing? And I mean, they came pretty close, right? So I think that, you know, this is a team that's been through so much, though, this year. There's been so much adversity right from the start of the year, starting, you know, 15 straight games on the road. The beginning of that, they're missing guys at NHL camps. They got depth injuries at training camp. They've got Jarrett McIsaac. He got banged up. We forget that he missed, like, the first month of the season, basically. I mean, he missed a fair stretch there, first 10 games or first 10 or 11 games, I think. So, and then of course, you bring in Ostap Saf, and he's never himself. He was hurt when he arrived, and Jonathan Chaney gets banged up at the end of December. Max Trepanier comes in. He looks great for the first, you know, five games here, and he's hurt January 9th. And they get him back for one game in February, and then he's not back to the playoffs. They finally look like they've got pretty much a healthy lineup in early March in Moncton. And they lose Raphael Lavoie, Antoine Morin in the first shift of the game, and then we're questioning, are they going to be back in time for game one against Quebec? And they come back, and so does Trepanier, but Beau Grew's out with mono. We find out just before the puck drop. So it's just been one thing after another for this team, and I think the way that first round played out, though, that really solidified an already tight group in the dressing room. It's a great bunch of guys, and obviously they were able to build off it.
I wanted to ask you about some of the guys you had in the booth with you this year, because there's a couple names that Moosehead fans don't remember. I know Jesse Lussier was in the booth with you for a couple games doing color. I know Kelly Bent was in there. I heard him at least once. So can you just talk about how those guys got involved getting into the booth with you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, Jesse is, he's a guy that right now, of course, he's at Dalhousie going into his fifth year there playing with the Dal Tigers. He's a student. The Mooseheads have a great program where they've partnered with a local group, local business to try to take some former players who are attending university and help get them, you know, into particular jobs, business roles that interest them. And I mean, Jesse, I think, has been a part of that program, but he's also now, during this busy Memorial Cup, he's interning with the team. So he's a guy that, you know, expressed an interest before in broadcasting, and we had some open spots there, and Jesse came on, did a few broadcasts. I mean, hasn't done a ton of them. You know, I think we'd like to have him around a little more if he was available. But he's done a few, and I mean, he was unreal. They just, you know, came in and was just. He's such a details guy. We heard John Greenwood, Moosehead's assistant coach, give him some, you know, high praise. He remembers him from early on during his coaching time here with the Mooseheads. And Jesse was, you know, just a details guy that could during video sessions could really break it down for the team, could break it down for the guys, and I think he was able to break it down for listeners. He was a real natural, and Jesse plays now with Kelly Bent with that Dal team. Kelly kind of same thing, wanted to give it a try, and Jesse couldn't make it, so Kelly popped on, and it was a lot of fun to have some of those former Mooseheads on. They give a unique perspective for sure, and obviously they're guys that have been in that dressing room. They know what it means to be a Moosehead, and it's some interesting insight.
I want to jump in with one here. Back in Guelph, we have our play-by-play voice on the radio side. He usually calls games solo, and obviously you've done it as well, but you've had the other guys come through. Is that something, do you enjoy calling games with someone else, having there someone to take the pressure off a little bit, or do you enjoy doing a solo game more so?
Yeah, I think it depends on what kind of game it is, right? If you get an exciting game like last night, it's just bang, bang, bang. It just keeps flowing. And those games in Rouyn-Noranda and in Drummondville, it's so loud in there that the energy is just always up. So it's just fun to be a part of that environment. And, I mean, the crowd is almost kind of helping you out as the color guy during some of the breaks. But no, it's fun. I mean, and then, you know, on the flip side of that, it's not bad to have somebody to shoot the breeze with when the Mooseheads are beating St. John 11-1, or, you know, there's a blowout here at the Scotiabank Center. What was that all about?
I don't know. I think
she's excited.
Yeah, we have some admirers here.
Distracted there. I'll be honest. That was. It does. That was loud. Hey, you know what? I think she's a moose maniac.
I think so. seen a few of those. I was impressed with the crowd last night. I have to say that last night, was my first ever game here in Halifax. I've seen Moosehead. I was at the 2013 Memorial Cup in Saskatoon and saw how well they traveled. But I think you were at that game there, Johnny. But it's certainly a great crowd to be a part of. You know, maybe not so much for me tomorrow, but it certainly must be great having to call games in big arenas like that with such a raucous crowd, whereas, you know, some of the other rinks in the league, it's, you know, now you get Barnes and you don't have to have 9,000 people, but still, it must be great to do that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a blast. I think that, I mean, obviously we hear it from the Mooseheads themselves. They think that they've got the best fans in the CHL, and I think that, you know, the crowd there, they kind of proved how good they can be last night. It's exciting for me. I mean, kind of my background before this, when I was kind of doing my volunteer play-by-play gigs over the years, it was, you know, you jump on, you do a Dal game at the Forum, and AUS is terrific hockey. Doesn't get a big turnout here. It's not a big draw, and it was kind of a similar situation when I did some of the junior A games. We were doing Shipbuilders games over at the Dartmouth Sportsplex, and I've done, you know, junior A games at the Forum as well, and kind of, you know, similar environments, unfortunately, good hockey, but doesn't exactly draw a massive crowd, and yeah, so it can be a little quiet in there, which makes it a little rough, but certainly that's not an issue at the Scotiabank Center. It's unreal. And I mean, there have been, you know, it's great to get that big crowd in there, but I think that, well, we've also learned during the playoffs here, you don't need 9,000 people to have a rowdy building. And that place, that IM Gold Arena in Rouen, I mean, that it was unreal. I couldn't believe how loud it was there. So I've been fortunate to call some games in some pretty exciting markets and venues this season.
So going into the rest of the week here now, we were talking to Jesse Lussier yesterday, and he said, we should ask you, who on his team has the juice?
That's Jesse's line, yeah. The juice. Who has got the juice? I think there were a lot of guys with the juice last night, and I think in the third period, Prince Albert did not have the juice. I think that they have, you know, it's been such a emotional stretch of hockey for them. I mean, we talked off the top of this about, you know, the little break that the Mooseheads have had, getting, you know, a few days off here to kind of rest and recover. It's kind of been bang, bang, bang for Prince Albert. They were out in the Pacific time zone for three straight games against Vancouver. Then they've got to come back to Saskatchewan and then play their games there. And then it's a quick turnaround coming back out here. So I'm not sure that the Raiders had the juice per se in the third period. I thought the Mooseheads, pretty much top to bottom, they did have the juice. I thought they had the juice in the first period. They were flying out there. And I mean, Samuel Asselin, I gotta say, Asselin was a guy that had the juice last night. I thought that was so fitting. I mean, you look at this guy, he, you know, cutting into this year, he had 33 goals in 177 career games in the queue. And last May was, I think, a bit of a coming out party for Samuel Asselin. I mean, he's a guy that, I think when he arrived in Halifax, kind of had that reputation, being a guy that's a bit of a pest. He's in your face, he can chirp, he'll work hard, though, doesn't take a shift off. But he led the tournament last year with the Acadie Bathurst D-Town, led the tournament. I think he finished tied with Nick Henry of Regina with 5 goals. So he led the way there last year in goal scoring. And to see him open the scoring here at this year's tournament, I thought that was pretty fitting. Samuel Asselin had the juice.
There you go.
It was fantastic.
Well, sir.
Well, sir.
We
know who.
There you go. There we go.
We now know who's got the juice, at least right now, for the Halifax Mooseheads. Last thing I want.
Gravel's got the juice right now, too. Yes. I mean, how good is Gravel? I mean, I think if, you know, obviously the game didn't work out the way that it did. We talked about the bad bounces in Game 5 against Rouyn-Noranda. But, I mean, that moment, and I don't know if it. I think you guys were probably following along. It was probably a commercial break, because it was about a 90-second commercial break. Watching Alex Gravel come over to the bench after that fourth goal went in, we're about 15 minutes into the first period. He has a conversation with Eric over there, and you can just see the head nodding. That, like, moment, I think that is going to be something. I hope it will be something that just changes – the trajectory of Alex Gravel's career. And it's not, I mean, he was terrific, we said. Against Drummondville, .930 save percentage, was their MVP during the playoffs. But that moment in particular, I thought was... It was a pretty poignant moment. I mean, he comes back out there after that's a brutal way to start a game, not only for him, but I mean for the Mooseheads. They're down 4-0, 15 minutes into game five, and to see the way that they battle back, he's perfect the rest of the night. You know, we were seeing Cole McLaren. They were showing McLaren on the Jumbotron there. I know they were showing him on the broadcast, and I mean, yeah, to see Alex Gravel come back in and lock it down the way that he did. That was pretty unreal, and I'm hoping that that's the kind of thing that continues for him this week and over the next week and a half.
Before we wrap things up here with you, of course, we turn to today's game. You know, even though you are the play-by-play voice of the Mooseheads, this is in Halifax, so you're still going to be calling the Storm and the Huskies this afternoon. Well, you've seen I was going to say two teams you've never seen before, but of course you've gotten to see a lot of the Huskies lately. You know a lot about them, maybe not so much about the Guelph Storm, but you know, is this going to be a bit of an odd feeling for you? You're calling junior hockey at such a high level, but the Mooseheads aren't involved. Any, you know, extra preparations coming into today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be slightly different, similar prep. But one of the great things about this, calling these non-Mooseheads games, is I've got no pregame show and no postgame show, which actually is a lot of pretty time-consuming stuff. So I think it's cool to just be able to focus here on the game itself. I'm looking forward to it. I know the Huskies, they were. We talked about it. They were unreal. 119 points this season. And Guelph, just seeing what the Storm, you know, did through the playoffs. I'm excited. I'm excited to see the Nick Suzuki show. I'm also looking forward to seeing Isaac Ratcliffe in action. I interviewed him a couple days ago. We'll be hopefully airing that interview here during the broadcast during one of our intermissions. But, I mean, that guy is a mammoth of a man, just gigantic. And then there's Fedor Gordiev back there on the back end, 6'7", 230. Like, yeah. I mean, come on. That guy, there are some big lads out there. So, no, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this game. And, yeah, definitely looking forward to the rest of the week.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time out before a game that you might have to do a little bit of extra prep for, and doing so and sitting down with us. And of course, I know the Herdcast boys here, Johnny and Jordan, loving to talk to you and asking you who has the juice. And I'm hoping by the end of this, the Storm have the juice, but we'll see what happens there. That's Gareth McDonald. He's the play-by-play voice of the Halifax Mooseheads. You can follow him on Twitter at GarethMD. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up today's game between the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies and the Guelph Storm with myself and Johnny and Jordan on the OHL Fanboys podcast meets the Herdcast.
And a couple of guys from Hamilton, so when you get guys. Here's a breakaway pass. It's Toropchenko. Hat trick. Yes! Alexei Toropchenko. First period hat trick. He's red hot.
Wow. What more can you say than wow?
Welcome back to the OHL Fanboys Podcast meets the Herdcast from the 101st Memorial Cup presented by Kia here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, as the Guelph Storm with a big 5-2 victory over the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies. I'm here with the Herdcast boys. Some people are pretty excited about the Storm win. I'd imagine you guys aren't so much excited about the Storm win as just watching the Huskies get dominated for a little bit there.
Yeah, you know, that was probably the best part of the day. I got a couple of things I got to say, but I don't want to get to them all off the top. But yes, it was nice to see the Huskies lose, but that was not the same Huskies team that we saw in the finals by far.
No, it wasn't even close. And I mean, I don't think you've seen anything out of Dobson. As you can tell, the crowd here loves him. Big Dobson fans.
-3. Yeah.
And you know what? He caused a couple of them goals. He tried to play forward all night. I mean, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I was not impressed by Rouyn-Noranda. That's not what they were like in the finals.
Definitely, I would expect a better Huskies team if the Storm and the Huskies were to meet again in this tournament. We'll see if that ever happens. But, oh, man, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just in awe over Alexei Toropchenko. This guy is on fire right now. 10 goals in his last 6 games, a first-period hat trick. A little bit of a stat for you guys, too. Apparently, that's the first in-period hat trick at a Memorial Cup since one Nathan MacKinnon did it in 2013.
No way.
Yeah, oh yeah. So he's in some. Toropchenko's in some pretty good company. I do believe he is the leading scorer of the tournament now. Well,
Dersey had three assists, didn't he?
Yeah, Sean Dersey's right up there with him. Three assists.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Trepanier had three for the Halifax last night too.
So there we go. We got a three-way tie for the scoring lead after 2 days. But I know with you guys watching the game, as we're getting some free coupons here to Domino's. You know, Guelph did score 5 goals, so that means you go down to Buffalo Wild Wings, get 5 free wings with any purchase and with your ticket to the game.
Are you being serious right now?
Was that
a promo you guys had?
Yeah. Whenever we score our 5th goal of the game at home, they play the Chicken Dance song. So I was disappointed not hear it today, but, you know. Anyway.
Wow.
Anyway. The game started off pretty awful for the Storm, though, and it was the exact same way Game 6 of the final started off. I'm sure you guys were probably thinking, yep, there's Popovich that we've all heard about. He gave up. It was a good shot, to be fair, but at the same time, it's just like one of those from that far out and no traffic. It's one of those you got to stop. And I know I kind of slumped back in my seat and go, holy Christ, here we go again.
Yeah, no, that was a tough one to watch. And, of course, not seeing Guelph play before and hearing about, you know, maybe their weakest part is their goalie, seeing that shot go in and... It kind of made me think right away. I said, this might be bad. Right? And, I mean, we've seen Ruan and Aranda play such great games that if they kept it going, we thought maybe you'd be in trouble. But
yeah, and you know what? Not only that, but the fact that Ruan went in our President's Cup final, the team that scored first won the game. So I'm thinking, you know, Ruan, okay, here we go again. Like, not even the fact that, this, you know, Popovich laid in the goal. It was because the way the work went for you know, their previous games went for the Huskies, so
it was,
you know,
16-0 after scoring first, were they not? Every game they scored first, they won. Whatever they didn't,
they've never really had to come back to win a game.
No, they've always been, they're just powerhouse.
Well, I think I saw a stat after the second period. Guelph, that was the first time all season that the Huskies gave up 5 goals through 2 periods of play, and Guelph is 45-0 when they score 5 goals. So. As weak as the goaltending can be, you know, they don't get, when Guelph score and they don't lose many hockey games or apparently any at all. But, you know, as bad as that first goal was for Popovich, I think you guys would agree, man, he had a hell of a second period. You guys were in that end of the ice. He really kept Guelph in, ahead in this game when it was 4-2. And kind of at the end of that second period, I'm sitting there going, man, the Storm need to get out of this period in the worst play, and Poppy was unbelievable.
Oh, there was a scramble in front of his net where he made, there was like 3 saves, yeah. And you could see it where it looked like Bebo was going to put it right in between his pad and the post. And I didn't, it's like his leg extended, like go-go gadget leg. It was a ridiculous save, and it was super impressive to see down on our end anyway.
John agrees.
I concur,
yes. So he kept, and you know, I'm sitting there going, well, Guelph needs to get out of this period so bad. Poppy makes all those big saves, and then the Owen Sound attack. I mean, Guelph Storm come back down the ice, and tic-tac-toe between Sean Dersey and Nick Suzuki. I mean, that. Yeah. What did you guys were talking about the Nick Suzuki show and everything before. What was your first impression of him? I know he wasn't the guy who got all the offensive glory today, but he looked pretty good, I thought.
No, so I'll be a little critical here. Like, he's fast. He's extremely quick. And his hands, great hands. But what was he doing back there on that goal? Was it the second Miranda goal?
Yeah.
What was he doing back there? It was just on Jersey.
Well, yeah, because our defenseman, Sam Marukov, kind of got caught up ice, and Suzuki tried to cover for him, and he just got beat.
Okay.
How about that toe drag, though, when he split the D going down? I said to Laura, I was like, that was absolutely filthy. It was like the slowest toe drag I ever seen, but it was like on a string on his stick. It was crazy to see it.
I've done that a few times this year. And then late in the game there with there was only a handful of minutes to go and Storm up by 3 goals. Ratcliffe tried to do the between the leg thing. Almost worked.
Oh,
that was cool. That was really cool. Yeah. Watching him get it past the defense was wicked. Just
that was shades of Brent Andrews on Antoine Bebeau there for all our Moosehead listeners.
There you go. So, I mean, I can't say too much else. I mean, I'm just happy the Storm, you know, the Huskies were a team that I was a little bit frightened of with all that speed that they had. And Guelph, you know, even though in the third period Guelph really sat back, I thought, and I know for you guys it was probably a bit of a boring end of the game with your team not in it and Guelph just kind of shutting it down. Well, not so much shutting it down, but they just really weren't attacking anymore. And even though the Huskies had carried most of the play, I thought, in the third period, they really didn't get anywhere close to scoring that much.
So I'm going to give you my thoughts now. We've seen every team play,
yeah.
Right? This game tonight, obviously, Guelph dominated the first period. And I would say the second period was maybe 50-50. And the third period, I would say that Rouen dominated. But the difference is the domination by Guelph in the first period, they converted on you know, using that domination, you know, having their chances. They converted on their chances. Rouen was not able to do that in the third period, and that was the story of the game.
Well, more so, really, Rouen Aranda's chance was at the end of that second period when they were getting a bunch of chances and Poppy shut the door. Because I found, really, in the third period, Rouen Aranda didn't get a ton of really good shots on net, barely any at all.
I'd agree. That's perfect.
No, I would say. It's something that I took away after seeing all four teams now is I found this game to be faster. Like it did. Both teams, you know, just seemed to work well on the fly.
One team wasn't so much worse than the other team today. Huskies weren't great, obviously, but they weren't as bad as the Raiders were last night.
No, they weren't. And that's what I mean. You really notice it. Halifax, you know, beat the Raiders handily last night, I thought. But, I'm, you know, I was cheering for Guelph today. I will not be cheering for Guelph tomorrow is basically where I'm going here.
But let's just call it as, like, you can only call things as you see them. Yeah. So we've seen Prince Albert one game. We've seen Guelph one game. If you only call it as you see it, Popovich is a better goaltender than Ian Scott. Right?
Well, that's, like, I mean, that's he played, saying, yeah.
Like, he, you know, they, like you said, Rouen had the chance to turn this game around. If not for Popovich in that second period, we could have been talking, we could have been waiting for overtime to start.
And you're saying, you know, Popovich, better goaltender than Ian Scott. It makes me, there was that one moment in the third, I think there's a battle on the boards, and I couldn't believe, of all guys, Keegan Stevenson's winning a battle for the puck over, you know, one of our third line, you know, 18-year-old guys getting it over Noah Dobson. So it's just kind of weird how that goes. So I want to ask you, as we go into tomorrow's the battle of the 1 versus 0 teams, Halifax and Guelph. You guys asked me after last night's game, Steve, are you scared of Halifax now? And I said, you know what, they look like a really good team. Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. Are you guys afraid of Guelph at all?
No.
Not even a little bit.
No.
No credit. No credit from the herd cast for the Storm. Oh, well. But as alumni parents for Thomas McCollum come by and give us a wave. So anyway, that'll wrap up our coverage for day 2 of the Memorial Cup, the Guelph Storm and the Halifax Mooseheads on tap tomorrow, battle of the 1-0 teams. For the Herdcast boys, I'm Steve McLean. Why don't you take us out again?
All right.
You've been listening to the OHL Fanboys Podcast.